it's really interesting to see how these companies are approaching Chicago, right?
She was telling me she's really trying to understand how the tech ecosystem here works.
What's interesting about the baby boomers is that they've never met a debt they didn't like.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN.
Welcome to Monday afternoon, everyone. Steve Bertrand here in the WGN Skyline Studio on this Wintrust Business Lunch, kicking off the week. Maybe you're working on your lunch hour. Maybe you're working from home and listening. The number of people working from home, I think I have the statistic correct, is since 2005 is up 159%. That's not too shabby. That's a big number. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the program. Jim Dahlke is the senior editor, executive editor. Give me the right one.
Senior editor.
Senior editor at Chicago Inno. And you do work from home sometimes, don't you?
I do, yeah, every now and then, yeah.
But primarily you're coming into the city for.
That's right, yeah.
But I would imagine the number has gone up so much, not because, our work ethic has changed a little bit, but just the ability to. The technology has made it so much easier to work from home.
Sure, and you're seeing a lot of companies now, too, that have kind of dedicated remote teams. So, like, just how you'd have a leader of a Chicago office who's kind of the site lead, they're creating sort of site leads for these remote teams as well. So you're seeing a lot of, especially tech businesses, really kind of buy into remote work.
It works for business. I didn't plan on going off on this tangent at the very beginning, but it works for business as well because that we've seen businesses with a smaller and smaller office footprint.
Right. Companies can cut costs, with more working from home. And I think employees really see it as a benefit. You're seeing more large businesses kind of offer it as an employee perk, kind of especially as employees stay at businesses a little longer. You get a couple days off, to work from home a week.
All right. We'll kick that around a little bit more completely in the second half hour of the show. Right now, a story in Chicago Inno, and I teased this for the program coming up today. Illinois Tech is going to offer, and so IT is offering an AI degree.
Yeah, a BS degree in AI.
Right.
Yeah. So, Illinois Tech, formerly IIT, they recently announced just last week that they're going to be offering a Bachelor of Science in Artificial Intelligence. So this is pretty significant kind of for a few reasons. One, this is going to be the first such degree that you can get in the Midwest, actually. This is a very new program across the country. Carnegie Mellon launched the first undergrad degree in artificial intelligence just last year. And so Illinois Tech, one of just a handful of universities across the country to offer a degree like this.
So it begs the question, before there were degrees in this, and there still predominantly aren't, how did people develop AI? I mean, this is just things that they're doing professionally only.
So a lot of universities do have artificial intelligence tracks within their computer science programs. The University of Illinois, University of Michigan, Northwestern, lots of schools in the region and nationally kind of have AI tracks as a part of their computer science degrees, but not many schools have developed sort of these AI-focused degrees, and that's kind of what Illinois is really jumping on.
And Illinois Tech is really working on refurbishing its image. Not that it was tarnished in any way, but just sort of stepping up a little bit, right? They've done a lot of development down there. They've rebranded as Illinois Tech. I was down there a few weeks ago. It's the beautiful parts of campus.
Definitely. And one thing that they're doing, too, is trying to be known as, really a source of tech talent in the area, right? I think they tend to get overlooked when you think about U of I, when you think about Northwestern. You don't really think of them necessarily as this kind of big producer of tech talent, but they absolutely are. And I think that this degree in AI is going to only put them down the path towards that.
Okay, so Jim Dahlke writes a story about Illinois Tech and AI and the degree, but it's this phrase that really jumped out at me pretty far down in the story. As many fear the new technology could be a threat to humanity.
I know, it's just kind of like a flippant line there, but you cannot talk about AI without talking about its potential downsides, right? I mean, we've seen some of the most forward thinkers in technology, whether it's Elon Musk or Stephen Hawking, kind of saying that they could, quote, spell the end of the human race, right? So we have to kind of think about AI very holistically, and especially considering societal impacts and ethics. And so it appears to be that's a big focus of Illinois Tech's program, kind of really thinking about the ethics of AI.
Oh, okay.
So that'll be a big part of the curriculum.
So those are serious thinking people. This is a serious issue that AI could do us in? How would AI do us in? Paint the scenario there, Stephen Hawking.
So think about, as machines start to learn on their own, As we know, the humans have less and less impact in kind of how the algorithms are working. You want them to work ethically. You want them to take into effect societal impacts, right? So you don't kind of want software to be so forward-thinking and so on its own that it's not taking into effect sort of bigger picture societal issues. And so what we're kind of teaching all of our engineers from day one is to consider ethics to consider societal impacts as they're building out the new technology.
So that's the heady part of the program. Now I just want a celebrity to say hi to me. And Cameo, this Chicago company, just made another sort of big acquisition when it comes to talent.
That's right. So Cameo, the startup we've talked about a lot, raised $50 million earlier this summer.
How much money have you made on Cameo? Do you say hello to people?
I don't, but you know what? I bet you can make a few bucks if you were on Cameo.
Maybe three.
You know, it's a fun app. We don't see a lot of apps like that in Chicago. It's not a very quote-unquote Chicago business, right? But they've created this very buzzy social media app that basically connects celebrities to their fans. You can pay for celebrity shout-outs. It's often gifted as a birthday gift, anniversary gift. And they just landed a new hire. They hired their first chief marketing officer from TikTok. So TikTok is an app that's very, very popular right now, especially with teenagers. Basically allows you to kind of send very short, funny video messages.
Which is similar to what Cameo does.
Exactly. And TikTok has grown to like over a billion users worldwide, just totally blowing up right now. And so they basically poached a leader of TikTok to kind of join the Cameo brand here. And he's going to be their CMO based in Los Angeles.
It is shocking to me that Cameo says it has 18,000 celebrities signed up to say hello to people.
It is. It's amazing kind of the way that they've been able to grow. And celebrities, you know, use Cameo for a couple reasons, right? One, yes, there is money to be made here. And if you're, you know, kind of in the C-ish range celebrity, a couple extra bucks, you know, from something that's pretty simple to do is nice. But really, it's a way that a lot of celebrities are finding that they're able to connect with their fans, unlike they've ever been able to do
before. So it's a different sort of branding tool for them.
Absolutely. I mean, and Cameo's got potential ways that you can connect with fans even more intimately down the road, too. So I think that they see a way to connect with fans like they've never been able to do before.
So that's what they're doing next, right? Events or things like that with celebrities?
Yeah, that could be part of it, too. I mean, it's just more intimate communication, right? So think about, like, you know, a scenario we talked about before. You know, if you were out shopping and you wanted to get a better sense of, hey, what shoes go with this dress, you can ask your favorite fashion blogger on Cameo to kind of help give their input. So
pretty cool.
A lot of different scenarios that
are they
available.
Making money yet?
Yeah, they are. So okay. they've grown revenue, I think, 4 or 5x in the last year or so. And they've said they've done, you know, the last time we checked in with Cameo, kind of around their funding, had, you know, done more Cameos in the last 6 months than they've done in their entire 2 year lifespan. So really, really growing quickly.
Jim Dahlke is in the studio, senior editor at Chicago Inno and the host of the Inno Minute that you hear every morning on the opening bell right around 5:25 in the morning. I nailed it. Sorry, but I didn't have your mic on. There we go. Perfect. Okay, so you write about this company Tempo and how they are making a CBD, a cannabinoid beverage, right?
That's right.
And we've talked a lot about this sort of industry right now because there are a lot of little startups, but the bigger fish are swimming around too.
That's right. It feels like every business is getting into CBD right about now, right? So, I mean, I think you're seeing it from certainly the larger players, but, you know, there's this sort of groundswell of startup activity around CBD as well. And so there's a startup in Chicago called Tempo, and they kind of got their start as a beverage startup making caffeinated sparkling teas.
Okay.
And have kind of pivoted a little bit into a new category for CBD. And so what they've created is basically what they're calling a wellness shot. So this is a CBD-infused drink, but it's really, you know, what I would compare it to is kind of like a 5-hour energy. It's in a very small kind of 2.5-ounce shot that's all packaged up. Looks very similar to a 5-hour energy, but it's got CBD.
And CBD is it's made from hemp, right?
That's right.
It doesn't get you high, but the proponents of it say it's got great benefits. It helps with anxiety, helps with, I've talked about my thumbs, you know, it's supposed to help with joint pain and things like that.
Yeah, stress, sleep, anxiety, joint pain. I think it kind of has a wide range of potential health benefits.
I mean, it almost sounds like some guy selling it out of the back of a truck.
It does.
Everything that can go wrong with you, this fix.
We are definitely, I think, in the early, early days of CBD, and I think that there's still a lot to learn, but I think, you know, the early adopters of it certainly see benefits from it, and, you know, you can buy every, you know, little shop and every strip mall, you know, across America, we're seeing little CBD shops pop up.
So Tempo is selling these shots in 5 or 6 different locations now, right?
Yeah, so you can get them around Chicago at Goddess and the Grocer, Life Kitchen, Local Foods, Urban Pantry. There's a few different places kind of around town that are selling this. And, you know, it's interesting to kind of see these sort of brick and mortar operations sort of jump into the CBD trend. And, you know, I'm not sure where CBD will be in the next 5 or 10 years, right? But it certainly seems like it's trending up.
You haven't been around town long enough, but there's a guy named Ricky Hendon, who was a former 27th Ward Alderman, then he was a state senator, and he's just a character. He's an Illinois political character. And Cranes is writing about him today, how he's opened up a CBD shop. He's got his own recipes, so he's selling cooking spices and CBD oils. So, yeah, everyone's getting into it.
It's amazing, yeah. I mean, you'd imagine that you'll see probably some consolidation in this, right? Not, you know, not every shop is going to open up CBD, right? So you would imagine some of the larger kind of players in this right. industry are going to be acquiring some of these smaller guys.
Okay, we've been talking about companies moving in. The story today is Uber is going to become, it looks like, the anchor, right, of the old Chicago post office.
Yeah, just confirming today, a 10-year lease, I think 450,000 square feet, just a massive, massive operation. And, you know, their Chicago office will be its second largest outside of its headquarters in San Fran.
We're going to talk to Amy Guth about that a little bit later in the program, but there also is the news that Reddit is expanding its footprint here. Now, do we like Reddit again? Or do we not like Reddit?
Well, one thing that's interesting about Reddit is, like, you know, this is a very, very well-known Silicon Valley social media kind of player, right? So, you know, the fact that they're kind of expanding into Chicago is certainly interesting. And, you know, they kind of announced this plan back at last year, kind of opened within a WeWork. Now they've got a dedicated space within the Merchandise Mart. So kind of upping their employee count to about 25 or so.
But are they're a good actor by and large, right? Because Reddit was in a lot of trouble for a while.
They are. I mean, you know, as every social network, right, there are going to be problem people on your platform, and right. Reddit has not been immune to that, right? So there's definitely been issues with Reddit, but I mean, I think as a business, they've, you know, really, you know, have not been among the problem players.
Okay, so yeah, my son is big, and I'm not a big Reddit guy.
Mm-hmm.
Explain for me just quickly how it works, because I've never quite been able to get into it.
It's a way to kind of stay on top of topics. So Reddit does different topics really, really well. So if you're, you know, a Chicago Bulls fan, you can get a ton of very specific information on the Bulls Reddit channel. You can do the same thing with artificial intelligence. You can do the same thing with tech news. You can do the same thing with a lot of different categories. So it really allows you to kind of stay on top of different issues and news topics within different sectors.
And it is reliable, or it's just as reliable as the people posting?
Right. I mean, that's exactly what it is. I mean, there's definitely nonsense, but I mean, what it really, the benefit of it is, you know, people kind of posting news articles and keeping people informed.
No nonsense at Chicago Inno.
That's right.
Jim Dahlke, thanks for coming by.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks very much, Eric Rung. Steve Bertrand here. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Uber is going to be sharing a ride into the old Chicago Post Office. 450,000 square feet. That's the story coming out today. We'll talk to Amy Guth about that a little bit later in the program. Elise Glink is in the studio, the publisher of ThinkLink.com and the CEO of Best Money Moves. We talk about that, the HR app for businesses to help their workers deal with financial stress. Elise, thanks for coming in. Nice to see you.
It's nice to see you, too.
Okay, so I'm reading my websites, my little sources this morning, and this story from the Business Roundtable leaped out at me. CNBC.com headline, the CEOs of nearly 200 companies just said shareholder value is no longer their main objective. Now, Cher, that's what I, every time I try to bring up, you know, investing more in workers, or everyone said, well, a company's main principle is rewarding its shareholders. That's sort of the default position. Jamie Dimon and these executives are going to change that?
I hope they do. I mean, we're really in a situation where I don't think that shareholders need to be as richly rewarded as some of the employees who are making that happen at this point.
Well, so take, for example, I know I'm like a broken record, but stock buybacks, right?
Sure.
Stock buybacks, you're the expert, but they drive the price of the stock up.
They do.
That rewards the shareholders. It rewards the CEO, whose contract often is based on share value.
Right.
It doesn't help the worker who's not getting the raise.
Yeah, I mean, the idea behind that is, and by the way, we should point out that after the Trump tax cuts, share buybacks exceeded right. something like $150 billion per quarter. It was a number in several quarters in a row unseen before.
And we were told this money was going to go to workers and also importantly research and development and things like that.
Absolutely. And it really has not filtered down quite the way that this was all supposed to. But when you look at rewarding, you know, shareholders, that's great. But you and I were talking before the break about my favorite capitalist, Herb Kelleher, the
Southwest Airlines.
Yes. And what he always said was, reward your employees. They're going to make your customers happy, which is going to make your shareholders happy. And to me, that's the perfect circle of capitalism.
I was at the news conference in Chicago when he announced that Southwest is going to start flying to Midway Airport.
So awesome.
A long time ago.
That was a long time ago.
But if you think of it, right, so you make your workers happy, they make the customers happy, your business is rewarded. That's a nice little circle. If instead you're focusing on making your shareholders happy, you're leaving your workers and your customers out of that circle. Those seem like the two of the most important parts.
It really is in my mind. And as a business owner, I will tell you that if all I did was make my investors happy, I don't think we would have a business.
Right.
So you have to really think. And the idea that, and I don't know if most people understand the Business Roundtable, they have had a very high profile in certain circles, but for the vast majority of everybody, it's like, who? But it is the biggest companies in this country, the financial services companies that come together and they meet, I don't even know how often, quarterly, I think, maybe twice a year. They meet to discuss these sort of big, important things. And the fact that they're taking this stand is important.
Okay, so what, though? I mean, so they've come out with this paper. Does this mean that these CEOs are going to go back to their boardrooms and not do the buybacks and start investing more in workers and investing more in, how do they make it then become reality?
Well, these people have the ability to make that reality, right? They're the CEOs, and they're sitting in this roundtable. If they came up with the statement, they must have a plan in place, I would expect, both as an employee and a shareholder, to do something.
So what do you think we might see?
I think we're going to see announcements of continuing higher raises and wages for people. I think we're also going to see that there might be an additional new benefits that are provided to employees as well.
We talk a lot about working from home, flex time, and things like that.
I think that could be a big, big part of it. You know, one of the things that people are seeing in the financial services world, and it's starting to filter out in other places, are things like best money moves, this emphasis on helping people with all the different parts of their personal finance. And frankly, there's been a big wake-up call in corporate America that their own employees can't either afford their own products, qualify for their own accounts, can't get their own credit cards, and that's finally waking people up.
There's a quote today in this statement from Jamie Dimon, the CEO of JP Morgan Chase: "The American dream is alive but fraying." Right? And
yeah.
So that's what we're talking about.
We are. I mean, if you don't have people who imagine that the next generation that they are currently raising is going to be better off than the generation today, you're going to end up with something that maybe is akin to Japan, which has been stagnating now for 20-something years.
Okay, let's talk recession, because there was a study out today said I think 74% of business economists surveyed think the recession is coming. I think only 2% this year, gets bigger for next year and even bigger than for 2 years out. But overall, 74% in the next couple of years.
Well, they're all...
Couldn't I predict that?
Yes.
I mean, it's been 15 years or 10 years, I should say.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a long time since we've had a recession. The question is not whether we're going to get one. And I think people have been talking... I've been talking about 2020, 2021 for a long time. The question is, how bad will it be? And will it be worse than it should have been? Today, Trump announced that he actually wants Jerome Powell to lower the interest rate, federal funds rate, by another 1%. And he wants quantitative easing, which are tools that should only be used in the direst of circumstances. We're talking the Great Recession or the Great Depression.
And the problem is, if you do it now, those arrows are out of the quiver for when you need them.
Well, then you're pumping up the stock market again for no reason, and the stock market is already at almost record highs. So it's a little unclear what he's really thinking in the White House and how that's going to impact a future economic downturn.
So in a way, we end where we started, where there's too much emphasis being put on the share value and not enough on the core issues.
Well, wait, we could just talk about buying Greenland. Because then everybody would go squirrel.
It's beautiful. I've flown over Greenland. It's
sure.
I don't think I'd want a vacation there.
Well, pretty soon they're just going to have water.
Elise Glink from Best Money Moves, thanks for coming by.
It's a pleasure.
It's the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN.
Start the timer, because here's the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing and examining Chicago business news of the day. Have you ever thought about $1 million idea and then Googled it just to find out that somebody already brought your idea to life and is making money off of it? That feeling kind of stinks. But what also stinks is getting sued. A Michigan company is getting sued because it knocked off the Chicago radio flyer Red Wagon. Come on, you couldn't find a Google search for that? American Plastic Toys is being sued by Radio Flyer because of their version of a wagon that looks very similar to the concept of Radio Flyer. The main difference is that the American Plastic Toy version has foldable seats and cup holders. So the next time you decide to build out that dream idea, Google it first so you don't get sued. And speaking of, an Indiana company is on its way to getting sued because they're responsible for a chemical spill in Lake Michigan. The Portage and Dunes National Lakeshore beaches had to be closed because of it. Cyanide was spilled at the end of last week at their Burns Harbor location. The company is taking full responsibility for the situation, and they're working to solve it. I don't know about you, I'm just trying to avoid getting sued in my everyday life. I'm Bennett Wakenight, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Thanks very much, Orion Samuelson. Steve Bertrand here. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN, sponsored by Wintrust Chicago's Bank. Okay, it's been since, I think, 1932, the old Chicago Post Office has been empty over the Eisenhower Expressway, Congress Parkway. Not really 1932. How long has it been vacant?
A minute. Not 1932, but certainly
a hot
minute. It's been a while.
It's been a long time. Since I'm going to say the 80s, maybe, or very early 90s. So this behemoth, this beautiful building that when you're a kid, it's such a thrill, you would drive under the post office. It's been largely vacant. There have been all these plans. And finally, we see underway this $800 million plan to rejuvenate it. And it got a big shot in the arm today. Amy Guth is here. Oh, Amy, you host The Daily Gist.
What a great podcast. Thank you for saying so. Yeah, this is a really interesting one. I think we've kind of known, this rumor has been floating around a little bit, that maybe Uber was going to move to the post office. We're talking about 2.8 million square feet of office space in this building. It's humongous. And, you know, I think it's been under work for such a long time that people stopped noticing. And it was kind of like, we'll believe it when we see it.
Exactly. Because you just drive under it, right? You drive by it, you look at it. It's not falling apart from outside, but it's been known for being empty.
Totally. And it's surrounded by so much construction. You're like, okay, this is just this whole area of chaos. Who knows what's going on? But indeed, it was confirmed that Uber has signed a 10-year lease. They want 450,000 square feet of space in that facility. That's a pretty big chunk of space. Other people that have signed leases that are going to be moving in starting really soon are Walgreens Boots Alliance, Ferrara Candy, the Chicago Metropolitan Agency for Planning, and Abelson Taylor, the ad agency. So that'll be kind of interesting, an interesting mix over there.
And I know you haven't been in it, right? You don't know the
I have not. I don't think you can. It seems like it's a dangerous construction zone.
Just wondering. Because it's going to become its own little city. Because it's,
definitely.
Even though it's in the middle and it's great location, it's also kind of in an island, whereas it's over the Congress Parkway.
Yeah, and you know, Cranes had written about this probably about 2 or 3 months ago, about kind of some of these plans for this $800 million renovation. And that's exactly right, Steve, to make it kind of its own little land over there, make it its own little city. There's a lot of plans for retail, for restaurants, it's going to be really interesting to watch it for the next handful of years of just what's happening there.
And we're seeing that area, I mean, we're seeing so many areas of Chicago become new again.
Yeah.
But that's certainly one of them. I think it's a BMO Harris Tower.
Yes.
It's going up right just south of Union Station.
Yes, that area is going to, I suspect it's going to have a new name here soon enough, right? Because I don't think it's really being called anything other than like the area by the post office. But I think we'll probably have some kind of pretty little name come up soon enough for that area. But it's a lot of that is under development, as we're seeing in a lot of areas.
We're going to talk to someone about McCormick Square tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Which is like a made-up name by McCormick Place.
But I know, and that's
funny. All the new development there. So this leads credence or not to my concern that the life might be oozing out of downtown, out of the city center.
It's certainly shifting. I don't know if it's oozing out. Oozing might be a strong word. But it's certainly shifting around. I mean, our business district is certainly getting bigger. Does that mean that we're going to accommodate more people and that's going to counter some population loss? Or what's going to happen? I don't know. I mean, we're certainly seeing Fulton Market have a complete makeover. You know, we're seeing some new things. That said, there was a story probably about a week or two ago about how we don't think of the Loop being like the hoodie and jeans tech space, startup space. And yet there's a lot of smaller startups going in right in the Loop because people are looking at these newly expanded areas and they're not looking in the Loop, and suddenly it's a little more affordable.
So the space is available.
Yeah.
All right. We'll watch that, and we'll hope if it does start to ooze, we'll do our best to
cover that, wipe it off or something.
What else is on the Daily Gist today?
Well, I talked with John Pletz today about CBD startups. I know that's a conversation. We share a lot of guests.
Yeah,
thing we do.
Yeah.
So I talked with him about that and also taken a look at how hedge funds have really shifted over the recent past, but how Citadel kind of is always in its own category when we're thinking about hedge fund managers and big companies. They're always kind of doing their own thing with, you know, billionaire Griffin at the wheel.
And we talked about that earlier when Griffin sort of was threatening to leave the city, what the significance of that was, and I'm not sure we got a resolution to that, but that's okay because he changed his mind.
Yeah, I mean, that was a big story. I remember that day he was on the Bloomberg show, and he was like, I thought about it. I kind of looked, and everybody went, what's happening? Right. You know, that was such a big deal because of its place in the city.
I think he was just sending a message to the mayor-elect.
I think so. He was doing that thing where you point at your eyes and then point at someone else.
Right.
He was doing that. What do you call that?
Amy
De Niro
Guth,
eyes?
I'm watching you. I'm watching the Daily Jish. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks so much.